from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us wherever you might be, hunkered down across the fruited plain today. Jeez-a-loo. What a snowstorm we've got going on here at our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis. And they're telling us we could have up to like 9-10 inches of snow here. And we're, look, if we just get a dusting, people panic and they freak out. But it's even worse in places like Texas, where some 2 million people are without power. And there's a fascinating twist to this story. So it turns out that the reason why 2 million people are without power right now in the frigid cold is because the wind turbines that were erected to help the environment have frozen solid. So all of these environmentalists and our good friend over at Newsmax, Jack Posobiec, pointed this out on his Twitter feed back in 2019. Vox.com did a big story about how future generations will look back on President Trump's rants about wind turbines in awe and horror. Remember, Trump said, look, these turbines aren't going to help you out, you know, if you're going through some bad weather. And the president was absolutely right. And so now the future generations in Texas may very well freeze to death. Thanks to you people at Vox. You bunch of leftist morons. Jeez, Alou. All right. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Sunny, hang tight in Florida. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker Live for just a moment. There's a big story developing in the state of Mississippi. Now, a couple of weeks ago, President Biden signed off on executive orders that put basically every woman and child in America in harm's way by opening up the bathrooms and their locker rooms and sports teams to men who think they are women. And the folks in Mississippi want to do something about that. So the Mississippi Fairness Act has been introduced. To help us understand what that legislation is about and why they are supporting it is our good friend Walker Wildman from American Family Association. And Walker, first, welcome to the show. And second, how are things going down in Tupelo?
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on. We're pretty much iced/snowed in here in Tupelo. It's not as bad as Memphis and other areas, but the roads are pretty much undrivable.
Well, yes. So, folks, if you're out and about, stay home. If you're listening to this radio program, just get someplace safe and get off the roadways. Walker, this legislation, let's talk a little bit about what it would do and what the folks in Mississippi are hoping to do.
Yeah, the Mississippi Fairness Act, which passed the Mississippi State Senate last week. Now we're trying to get it through the Mississippi State House before it goes to the governor's desk. All this simply does is it protects boys and girls sports, men and women's sports, whether it be in high school or college. It protects their sports. And people might ask, well, why do those sports need protecting? Well, as you know, Todd, the left is trying to blur the lines between male and female. The left is trying to deny science and deny the reality that there is a biological difference between men and women, and that's how God created them different. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to stop boys from playing in girls' sports. We're trying to stop young men from running track with young girls and stealing their scholarships, which is what we've seen in Connecticut. So we're actually going on offense here against the left, and we're aiming to protect the traditional and the scientific view of man and woman, boy and girl.
Walker, I'm wondering if you guys at American Family Association were surprised at how quickly Joe Biden jumped onto this and really made this a cornerstone issue of not just his candidacy, but now his presidency.
Yeah, you know, President Obama, he kind of tiptoed around this, and he actually tried to do some things. We remember that letter he sent out to all the schools through the Department of Education. back in the last year or two of his administration. So they tried to do this under Obama, but President Biden and his handlers really are going full steam ahead with this left-wing anti-science agenda, all aimed at tearing down women's sports. So it's interesting, though, because they claim to be the party of feminists and of feminism, but in reality, they're the ones making the onward assault on women. And they're actually putting people in danger here because, as we've noted with our Target boycott, because back in 2016, Target said that they were going to allow men into women's restrooms, all in the name of transgenderism. What we've seen is actually these policies put young girls in danger because sexual predators utilize these policies to gain access to changing rooms, to showers, to locker rooms. So this is just as much a public safety issue.
Oh, of course it is. And Walker, this is not hyperbole. I mean, you guys have done a terrific job of documenting these instances of people being arrested. These guys, using these rules to take advantage of these innocent women and children. It's just unbelievable. I'm curious though about younger conservatives on these particular issues. Are you seeing any kind of a movement there? I mean, we're hearing reports within some Republican circles that there's been a bit of moderation on these views. So what are you guys seeing?
Well, there's always the thing about Republicans, and especially leadership within the Republican Party, is they seem to always want to play defense, but when it comes to playing offense, they're terrible at it. So we've had to actually force the hand of some Republican leaders here in Mississippi to get this done, in the House and Senate, get it over to the governor's desk so he can sign it, which he's indicated that he will. But it's time. That's the problem, Todd, and you've talked about this significantly. The problem is we need to start playing offense. We need to start taking back a culture and stop playing defense against the left. So this legislation is aimed at heading off at preventing the radical policies of the left that they're trying to implement in Connecticut, California, and New York, preventing those policies from coming to Mississippi. We don't need to wait until an 18-year-old, 6'4" male is playing against our daughter's basketball team. We need to go ahead and take action now to prevent that insanity from happening.
You know what? That's the key word. It is insanity. And again, you know, you can address these issues, and you guys do it in such a really wonderful way, a very kind and compassionate way. But Walker, at the end of the day, we're talking about children, and we're talking about innocence here, and we need to protect our locker rooms. We need to protect these young ladies, and we need to give them the ability and the right to play on a sports team or use a locker room without having to fear that there's a guy in there.
Yeah, no, you're right. And look, there are people who legitimately struggle with gender dysphoria, and they have trouble mentally with their sexual identity and things like that. And we actually created a documentary called In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Human Sexuality. And this documentary is aimed at helping people who struggle with this. And when the Bible calls us to help people who are lost, help people who are struggling with different issues and sin, and because we're all sinners at the end of the day. And so we're reaching out, we're helping people who are struggling with this issue, but at the same time, we're trying to save and protect people who don't struggle with this and their sports and allow them to compete fairly on a level playing field. So we can do both at the same time. We can have compassion, but we can also have policies that protect the gender and sexual norms of our society.
All right, good stuff and great information, Walker. We've got links to all of that over on our live show blog, folks, toddstearns.com. You can check that out for yourself and watch that very important documentary. Walker, we appreciate the great work. Be safe out there. Stay warm.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Walker Wildman from American Family Association, based out of Tupelo, Mississippi. And they're getting the ice right now. And honestly, I'd rather have the snow. At least it's pretty to look at. But that ice, yeah, you don't want to mess around with that stuff. All right. Before we go to break, Sunny in Florida has been holding on for quite some time, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WOCA. Hi, Sunny. What's going on?
Well, I agree our President Trump should stay in politics, but for him to run for the White House, he'd be tying his own hands with what's running Congress, especially with the unelected Democrat bureaucrats and people like that. I honestly believe he should do what he does best, campaigning. In other words, back somebody like a Ted Cruz, who I wasn't always in favor of, but the last few years he really was standing tall for our president. So I would say if he wanted to run, president should campaign and back him, because he's nobody better at campaigning than President Trump.
Well, you've got that right, Sonny. I mean, I have never seen such a masterful campaigner on the Republican side. I honest to goodness, and this is a weird comparison, Sonny, but he really does generate the excitement that Barack Obama generated back in the day on the other side of the aisle. And we need somebody like that on the Republican side. Beyond that, what do you think about, I was looking at a list over the weekend, and they're already starting to come up with the short list of who should run or who may be thinking about running. And your governor's name came up there, Ron DeSantis.
Yes, I like Governor Ron DeSantis, and I voted for him also. But I like Ted Cruz only because the way he stood up and was out there in the public eye with our president. So I think, I don't know if he's even running or considering it, but I would suggest that our President Trump would do a lot better campaigning, picking a campaign or picking a candidate and backing that candidate with campaigning for him. He could do so much more better simply because, let's face it, he is getting a little long in the tooth there.
Long in the tooth.
But the point of the matter is he's an excellent campaigner, and I think Ted Cruz has been in the Republican Party and in Congress a lot longer, so he knows the ins and outs better, I think.
All right. Good stuff, Sonny. We got to leave it there. Appreciate you listening to us. Thanks for a call again.
Thank you.
All right. Sonny says President Trump, no spring chicken. And he would probably be better served and better serve conservatives by being the campaigner in chief, being out there and leading the rallies and trying to get everybody to come behind one specific candidate, whether it be in Sonny's recommendation as Ted Cruz. There's also been a suggestion about Ron DeSantis out of Florida. Nikki Haley, by the way, after she came out against the president, completely imploded. Her fundraising completely imploded. And a new name that people are talking about, Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina. And, of course, that early primary there, caucus, let's see what happens. Hey, got to take a break here. Got a line open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A lot of you folks read Max Lucado books. He's like the inspirational guy. He's real popular in that genre. I've interviewed him about a half a dozen times or so over the years. Nice enough guy. Anyway, Lucado was invited to deliver a sermon at the Washington National Cathedral. Now, here's what you need to understand about the National Cathedral. It is barely a church. These people are heretics, and they're Episcopalians. They're of the far-left Episcopalian persuasion. So anyway, they had invited Lucado to give us a virtual sermon, and the LGBT crowd got wind of this and pitched holy you-know-what. I mean, they got triggered. So the LGBTQ community demanded that Licato's invitation be rescinded because of his position on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. And Licato is apparently a supporter of the belief that the Bible says marriage is between one man and one woman, which is a traditional belief that dates back thousands of years from all denominations. So anyway, Licato, they're demanding an apology, and so Max Licato apologizes. Now, the weird thing is he's not exactly saying what he's apologizing for, but he's apologizing to the LGBT community. And his apology is a little weird. I'm not going to lie. It's a little weird. But before we get into the apology, one of the vicars in the Episcopal Church, one of the first guys to come out as I don't know if it was LGBT or T, but the guy came out of the closet, and he says that, look, everybody knows that the gays have won, that they have conquered the church, and that it's only a matter of time. And again, this is the quote from the Episcopal vicar. It's only a matter of time before every church in America bends a knee to the LGBT community. That's coming from a very prominent member of the Episcopal Church. So Licato, in his apology, he did not say specifically what he was apologizing for, but he said, I know that it caused offense. But here's the part that I'm interested in. He says, over the years, or over centuries, the church has harmed LGBTQ people and their families, just as the church has harmed people on issues of race, gender, divorce, addiction, and so many other things. We must do better to serve and love one another. You know, I would, you know, instead of just throwing out a blanket condemnation of Christendom, I would have liked Licato just to come out and say, okay, here's how the church has harmed LGBTQ people. And beyond that, I mean, we all know what this is about. It's about gay marriage. So Licato is, in effect, acknowledging that his belief in traditional marriage is causing harm to the LGBTQ community. So at that point, my question to Licato is, well, when are you going to change your views, sir? I mean, if that's the problem, if your views are harming the LGBT community, then should you not renounce those views? I mean, you gotta go the distance with these things, folks. I'm getting a little tired of these woke preachers like Max Licato going out there and making these broad accusations against good-hearted Christian people. It's just bonkers. So anyway, there you go. Max Licato bowing down and surrendering to the LGBTQIA mob. All right, 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is the website. We'll be right back, folks. Grace Baker. Grace, turn your microphone on. I don't mean to alarm you, but I went downstairs during the commercial break.
Yes.
And I tried to open the door to the...
I saw that. You were struggling.
We may have to dig ourselves out of the building.
We might have to.
Yes. Our Southern Command, ladies and gentlemen, here in Memphis, Tennessee, looks like we've got about 4 or 5 inches of snow already on the ground, and they're telling us about a foot. But at least we have power.
So we're like halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you're saying.
We're halfway there. At least we have power. We don't have snow plows. I saw some guy with a mule, and I'm not quite sure.
Four-wheeler, maybe?
That's not working. That's not going to work.
No.
I'm curious to know how our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee is doing, though, over in Arkansas. The governor's on the Liberty University newsmaker line right now. Governor, you guys getting some snow out there?
You know, I'm listening to you whine about 4 or 5 inches. Dude, I'm looking at about 10 inches, and we're expected to get another 14.
What?
This is insane. I am totally snowbound at my house. I ain't going nowhere. I cannot leave my house, much less my neighborhood. This is just not something that people in Arkansas are used to, and frankly, I don't want to get used to it.
You know, yeah, me neither. We were checking with our weather folks here. I think the last time we had any snow over, you know, a half a foot was like back in the 1980s, 1985. Folks in this part of the country, we're just not built to handle this kind of stuff.
Well, I'm praying for a little global warming today. We really need it desperately. And I'm sure that this snow is Donald Trump's fault. I know it is, and we're going to hear that any moment now. From Joe Biden or his press secretary, Jen Psaki, who will come out and say that it's all because of things he did when he was still in office. But it is really just a stunning amount of snow. My sister-in-law lives in San Antonio, Texas, and I think they've got 8 or 10 inches in San Antonio.
In San Antonio, it's unbelievable. And Governor, you'll get a kick out of this. You know, President Trump, what did he say about those wind turbines? They're not dependable. You can't trust them. You know, if your power grid is based on those wind turbines, you're going to be in big trouble. And the reason why this just came out a few minutes ago, the reason why that 2 million people are out or don't have power in Texas is because the wind turbines have frozen, Governor.
Well, and I'm sure the solar panels aren't exactly red hot right now. So that's another issue. It's just an apocalyptic event for people who are not used to this kind of stuff. And clearly, in the South, we are not.
That's true. But in fairness, after living 15 years in New York City, they're not used to a foot of snow up there either. So, they can't handle it either. Governor, I want to talk about what happened over the weekend. But really, Mitch McConnell's reaction, and I just don't get him. You know, here he is acquitting the president on one hand, but on the other, it's almost as if he's trying to sabotage what's going to happen in 2022 and beyond.
I don't think a lot of these people living in D.C. understand that they don't really represent the general population of the conservative movement of the Republican Party. Donald Trump does. And even people who are not all that fond of Donald Trump's personality and his tweeting appreciate the stands he took, the things that he got done better than any president in our lifetime. And the fact that he was willing to fight back when these goons in the Democratic Party and the media piled on him and blamed him for everything and gave him credit for nothing. This is a man who kept some promises, virtually all of them, and we ought to be deeply indebted, especially in light of COVID. Operation Warp Speed has made it possible for people to get a vaccine that otherwise they would have waited 4 to 10 years to have. And I don't hear anybody on the other side just saying, President Trump, you know, we didn't like a lot of things you did, but thank you for ginning up Operation Warp Speed and making it possible for these vaccines to get to the marketplace in record time.
You know, Governor, it does seem to me, and maybe you can weigh on this, you've been in Republican politics for a long time. I really think that if we're going to change the culture of the party, it's going to have to start from the ground up. In other words, local Republican Party precincts and then working our way up the food chain. What do you think about that?
Totally agree. This weekend, my monologue on my Huckabee TV show from TBN, I talk about that when I hear people say, let's form a third party, I'm thinking, no. We're not leaving. We're in the majority. We are in the overwhelming majority. And I will say what my pastor often says when people say they're going to leave the church because they don't like something. His response is, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you.
Amen.
And his attitude is mine about the Republican Party. There's a small number of D.C. swamp rats that do not like what has happened, that we fought back against globalism, that we honestly think that America is a great country. We support Israel. We're pro-life. We're pro-family. We believe there are two genders. That's the bulk of the Republican Party. And we think lower taxes are better. And we don't like the fact that the D.C. swamp rats basically surrender every time they have a chance. But they're in the minority. And if they want to have a third party, they can do that. But frankly, they're probably more comfortable just joining the Democrats because they vote that way a lot of the times anyhow. We saw 7 of them do it Saturday. So we ought not to be going anywhere. We ought to say, let's build a party. Let's replace those that don't like America First, that want to surrender to the media and to the Democrats and the far left socialists. But we're not, and we're staying, and we're going to build a bigger, better, more effective party and make sure we elect people who have the courage to stand and fight.
Yeah, look, I, you know, you and I are good friends with Tony Perkins, Family Research Council. He was on the show a couple of days ago, and we asked him about Bill Cassidy. Of course, Tony is from Louisiana, and I've never heard him say really a cross word about anybody. But Tony said flat out, that guy, I've known him for years, he's a weak-kneed Republican. And I think there's going to be a lot of blowback. I know Richard Burr's retiring, but Lindsey Graham said he pretty much guaranteed a Laura Trump nomination for the Senate over in the Carolinas.
Well, I feel like that a lot of people saw who was willing to stand for the Constitution and who wasn't, and who was persuaded by these ridiculous arguments the Democrats put forward without any evidence. You know, I kept hearing during the post-election period that the president and his team didn't have any evidence about voter fraud. Well, the Democrats presented no evidence, no testimony, no witnesses. They based it upon some news accounts and hearsay. And of all the people talking about evidence, they forgot to bring any. So there's not a single Republican who should have voted to convict Donald Trump. And the seven who did ought to be ashamed of themselves. And frankly, I'd be fine with me if they all just found another profession other than serving in the U.S. Senate.
Well said. All right, Governor. So do you have all your provisions? I mean, you need anything? We could, you know, send FEMA over.
You know, my wife and I made a big pot of black-eyed peas yesterday and some cornbread. You just don't get any better than that. We're good to go, brother.
Well, I tell you, when you come to Memphis, Governor, I got to take you. I found a great music joint, and they have the most incredible food. It's called Lafayette's Music Room. And they may get you to play bass, but they'll serve you a free meal. It's
I'm ready.
Good okay. Eating. All right.
I'm far away. Take care, my friend.
Governor Mike Huckabee over across the river in the great state of Arkansas. Of course, his daughter, Sarah Sanders, all you folks listening to us on KARN. How would you like to have her as your next governor? I mean, you know what? I'm looking beyond governor for Sarah Sanders. I mean, you never know. You never know. Those Huckabees, good folks. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Gary in Arkansas, Cliff in North Carolina. We've got a couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
You know, going back to something Governor Huckabee said about the storming of the U.S. Capitol, one of the reports out of the New York Times was that police officer Brian Sicknick, one of the great patriots and one of the brave members of Capitol Police, was killed by the protesters. So the mob storming the Capitol, they're the ones that were responsible for killing Officer Brian Sicknick. And it was a huge New York Times story. As a matter of fact, the House managers used that New York Times report to insinuate that President Trump was responsible for this police officer's death. And what have we been telling you folks from day one? We still don't know what happened at the Capitol. We do not know what happened. We don't know what happened. You cannot believe what the Democrats are putting out there. You can't do it. It's their narrative. So now the New York Times, quietly over the weekend, they have updated their story. And now they're admitting that there is no evidence that Officer Sicknick was killed by the mob at the U.S. Capitol. We do not know the cause of death. So I want to read to you the update they did. And again, this was not on the front page. You didn't see this wall-to-wall news coverage in the social media platforms. New information has emerged regarding the death of the Capitol Police officer Brian Sicknick that questions the initial cause of his death provided by officials close to the Capitol Police. And then they go on to explain that they don't know how the guy died. But it wasn't how the New York Times originally reported it. Again, you cannot believe these people. Do not believe the original narrative. You got to wait for the facts to come out here, folks. You've got to wait for the facts to come out. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. North Carolina, Cliff hanging out with us on the talk station. Hi, Cliff. What's going on?
How you doing, Todd?
A little chilly in these parts, Cliff.
Well, I'm an old Memphis boy, and the last time we had a snow like it was 1963.
Woo!
That was about 4 years before you were born, I believe.
Yeah, wow. Cliff, you know me well. Yes, I was not even a figment in the imagination.
Well, I just talked to my sister down there about an hour ago, and she says that you're all going to get about 14 more inches.
Okay, now that's just not, she's not right with the Lord, Cliff. We're going to put her, rebuke your sister, Cliff. Now, wait, 14 more inches.
I'm a former deputy sheriff from Shelby County and a former Marine, and I'm back down here at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Is that, well, I knew you were good people when you said you're a member of the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, but you're a Marine. You're a great American, sir.
Well, I tell you what, both of them are fantastic organization.
They really are, and we could certainly use more deputies over here, I'll tell you that much. And now, are you retired? Did you retire back to Camp Lejeune, or did you sign back up again?
I retired.
All right.
They wouldn't take me at 72, Todd.
Well, Cliff, I got to tell you, that's some beautiful area over there, and we're going to be out there later this summer on our book tour. We're going to be in Moorhead City, which is not too far from where you are, and we'd love for you to drop by and say hello.
I will do that.
All right, Cliff. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll be sure to say hello to your sister. Hopefully she's listening to us. Did they say 14? He said 14 more inches of snow. Grace Baker, you get on the National Weather Service page, because Governor Huckabee said something about that.
Oh, no. Let me look.
We're going to need a bigger pot of black-eyed peas, I'll tell you that much. All right, let's go to Arkansas. Gary, listening to us on KARN. Gary, how are things today?
It's well, Todd. Well, it's snowy.
Yeah, that's what Governor Huckabee said. You know, he's back over there in Little Rock now.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I called in reference to the, listened to the conversation with the general from Mississippi about the bills that they're planning over there, and then the statement you made about the Cato College.
Yes, sir.
Issue that he's dealing with, let me just give you this analogy and then I'll explain. It's like having a misspelled word. There's an I in the word, but the I, let's take the dot off over the I and we'll accept the word. That's not the problem. The problem is not men being women's sports. That is just the reverse. The issue started, you got to nip it in the bud from where it started. It started with women wanting to be in men's sports, women wanting to be Boy Scouts, women wanting to be on the sideline of male sports, women wanting to be in male sports, women wanting to be in the locker room of all male sports. So if you got it one way, what's wrong with the other? Let's correct it from where it started. Go back to what God said. There's a difference there.
Yeah. What did
correct the misspelled word.
Gary, what was it old Barney Fife from the Andy Griffith Show? Nip it in the bud. Just nip it in the bud.
Go back to where it started. It didn't start with men wanting. Men couldn't care less about going in a woman's bathroom until they came up, the feminist movement wanting women to be men.
Well, I don't know about that, Gary. I would suspect there are a lot of 16-year-old boys over at the high school that wouldn't mind being able to sneak into the girls' locker room. But you know what, Gary?
Against it. It wasn't nothing that was
right.
Legalized.
Right, of course.
And women pushed to make their rights legal. They can go out. They can go in look at the law of professional sports. Women in there with a microphone, men trying to get undressed.
Gary, years ago, back when they first started letting those female sports reporters, I remember what you're talking about, and there was one of the female sports reporters for ESPN. She's in the locker room, and one of the players just came out of the shower. He's butt naked, and she got all upset about it. I mean, what did she think was going on in that locker room?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Stop trying to deal with something that didn't cause the misspelled word. Deal with what caused.
All right. Gary, a lot of wisdom there in Arkansas and a lot of wisdom in what you just had to say there. Thank you for the call, and thanks for listening to the program. Gary, you know what? Gary's actually right. This really did start with the gals wanting to be the guys, and then it just kind of it kicked up, and now you've got the guys wanting to compete with the girls. But I do remember that back in the day. And I don't, you know, again, and there was another reporter. She was very upset because they were using all sorts of bad language in the guys' locker room. Well, you know what, darling, if you don't like it, don't go in the men's locker room.
Listen, Todd, I covered the Memphis Grizzlies a few years ago. I was in the locker room. You know what the girls told me? The other girl, female reporters, they said, look up. Just look up at the ceiling and, you know, wait till they want their, you know, to be interviewed. Then go up to them, ask the questions.
These female reporters, they go into the locker, they go into the guys, they've been like, oh, you've got to let us into the men's locker room. It's mandatory. It's our right. It's our human right. So then they go into the locker room, the men's locker room, and then they don't like what they see. So they demand that the guys change their behavior. No, you know what? If you don't like that, go to the ladies' room.
Or just, get a different job.
I hear it's very nice in there, too. You guys have, like, the lounges and the flowers. And
it's much prettier.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's much more fragrant.
Yes, so, guaranteed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. All right, thank you, Grace Baker. I didn't realize you covered sports for the Grizzlies.
You didn't know that? Come on,
I
Todd.
Did not know that. I knew you I knew you had. You were a big sports fan.
I was a game day editor for a blog.
Is that right?
Yep.
Very nice.
I was their media person.
You learn something new every day, Ron. All right. Grace Baker, ladies and gentlemen, sports reporter and call screener for the Todd Stearns radio program. All right, coming up, folks, our good friends Diamond and Silk are going to drop by. All you folks in North Carolina, Mark Walker wants to be your next senator. We're going to talk to him. Also, we're covering the breaking news, which is this massive snowstorm. And we want to know how you are doing. Give us some pointers on how to survive the storm. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. And geez, Lou, even the Baptists are heading to the liquor store.